ain't coming to Jackson. Worldwide through the hard times.
Well, okay. Hello.
Hello. God bless you. Thank you, Skip.
Right.
God bless you.
You know, sister, you almost choked yourself when you put the earphones on, so I had to say something.
I'm glad you did, because you know I can't see anymore.
Oh.
I got to wear my glasses around my neck, and the first headphones I had, I got an echo from one side. So, man, and now my volume is up so high, I can hear myself outside. But it's all right. God bless you, community family, and welcome to Gang Talk with Skip Townsend and Sister Heron. You know, we've been coming here every Thursday for quite a few years, and to have this very important conversation with our family, our community family, because this is community business, and it's time for us to recognize how close we are. How close we are as a people and a community, and all our children's lives matter, don't they, Skip?
Yes, ma'am, they do.
Thank you for being our co-host.
Well, thank you for having me. I give all honor and praise to God. I'm grateful to be here. And as I was sharing before we started, I had a close one this morning, so I'm truly grateful. I promise I'm making this official. I'm not eating Wingstop anymore. You know, I didn't know what it was this morning, but it got me together. It was okay. Like, hey, look, pay attention. So I'm paying attention.
Well, let's clarify something. Was it Wingstop or hot wings?
No, I don't eat hot wings.
Oh, okay.
I eat a lot of grease. I eat the lemon pepper and all the herb, and I dip it again in the herb at the bottom. And, you know,
yes, okay. You got to have the herb.
Well, you brought herb. Right.
Yeah, I was going to say. I didn't do it.
Yeah, it's not cooking herb or motor herb, but it is herb.
It is herb. Right? That's true. Yeah, been herb.
Couldn't be
the
George.
Time.
It couldn't be John. And that'd be herb.
Right.
But then with me hot wings, so, you know, with the Earl.
Right.
Spelled with an E at the end.
That's all right, because look, we're just so happy to have you here tonight. But before we get started with you, sir, we always like to thank our guests from last week.
Yes, we do. We always like to thank our guests. So our last week guests. Yes, indeed. We thank them, though.
And we go through this every week. Who was here last week?
It takes about a month before I forget.
Okay. No, it doesn't. It just takes a week.
Okay,
for both of us. And I'm ashamed of myself because, oh, I know who it was. It was you. It was Marcus.
Oh, okay. Just me
and
Marcus.
It was Dale.
Oh, Dale, yes. Dale was our guest. I was going to say me and Marcus kind of like regulars, but, you know, Dale is a regular. Well, you know, Dale is for real a regular.
Well,
so, yeah, just a bunch of regulars. So.
Okay, because it's so funny. Dale has a very serious opinion, and he and his peer group discussed it all the time, and they came on once. And I've been trying to get him to come back, but his other two friends are new fathers, and they're playing daddy and, you know, home with the baby's moms and, you know, wife and doing the husband things. So.
That's great. But you know what? I'm really proud of Dale and his friends because they articulate and they're critical thinkers, and we need more of that. And I'm sure that the two men with the young babies will nurture and embrace fatherhood with teaching their children.
Oh, yes.
And we need that. So I'm grateful for his generation and those that, you know, are behind me that didn't follow in the footsteps of the foolishness that I myself followed into.
Well, you know, we lived and learned and, you know, it was a thing that just swept over the community that took a whole lot of people besides you, Skip.
Right.
And so they're in the 30-something age group that's bringing the recovery. Right. They want to be the fathers in their community. They don't want their children to grow up without their dad. So that's the beauty about their generation. They're clear-headed. They see things very clearly, and they're not deceived. You know, and so I like to get their opinion about things because it's very important. They're our future, and we need to know how they feel about it. So we asked the expert political analyst in our community to come join us tonight, and that's Dr. Earl Afari Hutchinson. For those of you that don't know him, don't know his name, this is our official political analyst for South Los Angeles, the black community in Los Angeles, and he carries a lot of wisdom, and For that reason, I chased him down many years ago. Okay, so, welcome, Doctor.
Don't start to date ourselves now. Be careful.
Well, it was over 10 years ago. Ourselves.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It was over 10 years ago. Yes, it was over 10 years ago.
Been that long?
Oh, I know that because I came around 10 years ago. You guys
been
were
that long.
There, right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I met you the first time at a forum we were having at his
the LA Urban Policy Roundtable.
That is not true. That is so not true. And I'm heartbroken every time you tell that story.
Because you're right.
Because I came out, you guys were speaking, I don't know what we were doing on Rodeo Road, but we were on Rodeo Road for some reason. You guys
Caitlin
were there.
Caitlin Avila.
No. Caitlin Avila's in the jungles across from
right.
the elementary school. But no, you guys were on Rodeo for some reason. That's where I originally met you guys. And then after the young daughter was shot, Ashley was shot and killed on 40-something in Western. Do you remember?
She was sitting in the car.
Marcia's daughter.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's when I started coming to the round table because
Okay.
you guys invited me to the round table.
Right.
And that's when you followed me into the ceasefire.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. That's right. That's
so
right.
So actually, I've been.
Skip has got that chronology.
Right.
He's
that's what
right.
It's called, chronology. Right.
He taught him a new word. Right. Yeah, chronology.
I'm going to go to
yeah.
class yeah. tonight and say that.
Okay. Mm. But you know, it's an amazing path that brought us together because. Mm. I chased him down when Delisha Allen was killed at Locke High School, 15-year-old Delisha Allen.
Yeah.
And I think what you're talking about on Rodeo is when the young boy was hit and run.
Ah.
And we were trying to get a stop sign.
Right, the
stop
sign. Light. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was just before Christmas, too. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the year.
You missed my birthday party. Okay. I won't tell you what year that was.
This is a throwback Thursday then. That's what this is.
We're going the big stroll down memory lane. I love that.
Yes.
We got a lot of memories too.
But let me tell you what's sad. I don't know if you guys are thinking about it, but when we start talking about corners and we start talking about things, actually what brings us together is death.
Yeah.
Whether it was a child being hit and run or whether it was a homicide. You said Caitlin Avila.
And
I remember everyone standing against the garage as we had the press conference. And this was the first time I ever stood with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know T. Rogers came out as well and, you know, stood with us. So I remember that very, very well, like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, it was a big deal. And, you know, same thing to be. Things seemed to be so huge in those years that it was out of control. And I had marched with Mothers on the March for many years before Delisha was killed. And we were just, folks were trying to form grassroots organizations to fight the violence. And so many of them met up that day for Delisha. And we marched down the street when I was still able to march. Yeah. Well, I broke my back walking around Los Angeles for this, so now I take the ride, okay, or I meet you at the beginning and see you when you get back. But, you know, it just shows how many years we've been on the front
line. Right, because when you were saying Locke High School, I was thinking to myself, no, it had to be something else because I was with you guys at Locke High School, but I wasn't. I was with you guys at Locke High School when they had that riot.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when there was the uprising, the students were against each other,
right.
which was probably a year or two after that or something. So
it was in that frame. Yeah,
it's history right here.
I'm telling you.
This was when they were fighting because they were saying Green Dot was the answer, and then everybody was blaming Green Dot.
And then thanks to him, you got to meet your first police chief.
Which one was that? Bratton?
Bratton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bratton.
Yeah. Yeah, the round table.
How many police chiefs you met before Bratton?
Yeah. None.
None.
I met police officers.
No, I said
as
police
they were chasing.
Chiefs.
Right.
No.
There were none to meet because they would not meet with us.
That's right.
Right. And I was invited. I truly appreciate that. And also, that's where I got a chance. That was the first time I really got to sit down and talk with Deputy Chief, but then he was a commander, Kenny Gardner.
Kenny Gardner,
Yes. You opened the doors for a lot of conversation, Earl. I just have to thank you for that.
Well,
I never got my question answered, too. Do you guys remember I asked a question up there, and then we went downstairs. We ran out of time. So I just said, it's okay, though. You know, it was my first chance getting to even ask a question for a police chief. So
to be fair, we kind of took Earl's arm and twisted it behind him and just came through the door. It's like, look, we're coming to this, Earl, so I just need to tell you Don't put nobody at the door because they're going to get hurt. You're coming in, you know.
I say, look out. Here we come.
Hey, look. Because there was a lot of movers and shakers in that room, but nobody in the level but me and Skip in the work that we were doing. So, I mean, I was proud of the folks that were in there. I was happy you opened the door and brought this new leadership.
You know who else I met there? Beverly White. That was my first time talking to Channel 4 newscaster Beverly White. We took a picture and we've been friends ever since. Earl, you've done a lot for me, brother.
I'm hearing all of this. I mean, God, I'm just flooded with memories. Did I do all of that? Was that me?
Yeah, that was you. It wasn't
five other people.
Don't you remember Bratton dragged us downstairs? I drugged Skip, and we stood behind Bratton in that press conference, and everybody was smiling, and then Skip started, his phone started blowing up. It's like, homie, what are you doing? What is that? Who are you with?
You're a traitor?
Right,
and you know, we actually did walk a fine line.
Right.
We did.
Walked a fine line. We had, well, first of all, Bratton. And then after that, it was a lot of other LAPD top command.
Right.
I mean, they all came at one time or another.
Yeah, they did.
And we would get it, too, from certain elements in the community.
Oh, you ain't
why are you with them? I mean, why are you with law? Have you sold out?
I mean,
I love that one. Have you sold out? Are you bucking to be something else?
Times
now?
And house I and mean, all kinds of things. It's like, but, wow, we're just trying to open the dialogue with this new guy to see if he's going to be like the last or worse or, you know, who he is. And I thank you to this day for giving us an opportunity to talk to a man that really came out here with the intent to try to make change.
Well, there's a little backstory, Skip and Sister Heron, to that. It wasn't as straightforward as you might think. Now, what happened was this. Let me take a second on the Bratton business. And I've seen this repeated over and over again in other situations. Actually, Bratton didn't want to come. Now, he came twice. Maybe he was even three times. He didn't really want to come because, like so many others, he's thinking, okay, I'm coming down here, I'm going to get attacked.
Yeah.
I'm coming down here, I'm going to get beat up.
Yeah.
I'm coming down here, I'm going to get run out of here.
So that's why Skip and I came.
Well.
Okay. I ain't going to lie about
it. Well, he wasn't going to come.
I came to check him.
He was not going to come.
Yeah.
So what happened was I had to do a little persuading. Look, he was relatively new at that point.
He was
You're coming
new.
In this community from somewhere else. You don't have a history in this city.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're East Coast. So if you're really going to be, as you say you want to be, you want to be a community-oriented, the LAPD community policeman, policing. Remember that was a buzzword then?
Right.
Then, I mean, you can't sit down at, back then, Parker Center. Of course, now it's, you know, something else. You can't sit down there and talk to yourself. Or, worse than that, Skip, as you know, and Sister Heron, talk to hand-picked black leaders. I said handpicked. We're not going to mention any names. We'll just leave it at that. I think we can fill in the blanks. So after talking to him, I guess he thought about it. He said no originally. You know, he didn't say no. I love the way they do this. You know, I've got other commitments. I've got this. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to be at the policeman's ball. I got to be here.
I got a schedule.
I said, Chief, wait a minute. You called me. And he did call because he read an article I wrote critical of them. So here's a chance to reach out. I guess they thought about it and thought about it. He said, okay, a few days later, you know, what time, blah, blah, blah. But even then, Skip and Sister Heron, he hedged his bets. And here's how he did it. This tickles me. his PR person called. And he said, now, okay, it's going to be from, I'm just picking a time, somewhere around, what, 6:30, because it was in the evening. And it's an hour. However, the chief is on a tight schedule. He's got to be out of there exactly at 6:35. In other words, he's only got 15 minutes. So what he was doing, in case it got a little heated, in case it wasn't going the way he wanted, I got my exit. What he didn't realize is we're serious people in the community. You know, we're not coming down here to shout you down. I mean, we're not into that. Well, but you could, but you also are asking questions. And that's okay. Questions that need to be answered, pointed questions. You know, and we know the litany of questions we were asking, use of force, complaints, racial profiling, what community policing actually means, reaching out to, you know, all the gang members, ex-gang members. I mean, all the things we look for. And, of course, the violence in the community. What are you doing there proactively? I mean, these are compelling questions. You shouldn't have a problem running from that, even if it's shouted at you. So when he got there, what he didn't realize, We are serious people. Mm-hmm. We're not going to jump down your throat. There'll be challenges, but it's okay. And here's what happened, Sister Heron. That 15 minutes, he felt so comfortable mm-hmm. because it was done the right way. He felt so comfortable, we had to almost drag him out of there.
Yeah, yeah. So, you're talking about that meeting in the upper room with all the...
Well, even before that,
no,
we had
that
one
was,
of,
yeah,
no,
I
it was down.
That was the daytime.
No, that was the second one.
When he said 6 o'clock, I knew I wasn't at that one.
Yeah,
I was at the daytime. Like
this was, yeah, the daytime
one to two
we had.
Or something like that, or 12.
And the daytime, if you remember, it just broke when he was up for renewal at that point.
Right. No.
Yeah,
yes, because he
what
was.
Happened?
Yeah, yeah, I remember
what,
that.
No, he, yeah.
Yeah.
And
he was
and
up for renewal.
He was
I remember
up
that.
For renewal, the second 5-year term, and what
and,
happened
and
was.
And he took that second renewal
okay.
and then later left anyway.
Okay,
yeah,
but Skip, wait a minute.
Anyway.
Wait a minute.
No.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You're getting ahead of yourself
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
That press conference we had impromptu down in the front, it wasn't actually planned,
right.
she was talking about. What happened was he was under fire for a brief moment. Mm-hmm. Some things came out, and he was being challenged. And I never will forget, we came down. We had the press conference. We basically endorsed this guy. Mm-hmm. And then right
yeah.
after that,
yeah, that's
he was reappointed. We, it's we.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he never forgot that. Mm-hmm. We really saved his you-know-what.
We really did.
We did.
We did. You know, Steve.
We validated his relationship with
we
the community.
Did.
Yes.
And that sealed the deal at that point for him.
Well, what a lot of people don't know is that thanks to Fred Booker and Kenny Garner, he came down to Tolliver's Barbershop and had that conversation with respected black men of mm-hmm. the community to find out what working folks thought about the police department.
And he should
and
do
so
it. Any of them should do it. If they're serious.
Did Beck do it? Did Daryl Gates do it? Did Bernard Parks do that?
I said,
did Willie Williams do that? But see, that's
well, you know what? Let me do take up real quick for Beck. For one thing Beck did is when Christopher Dorner did what he did and chased who he chased and whatever, even though they could not really speak on it, Beck brought his command staff and they came to the community center on Vermont.
Right.
So I do give them that. They were responsive.
And Skip, he did actually come to 2 round tables too.
Yeah.
And actually remember, Sister Heron, he came to K-Time a couple of times.
I know.
So he actually did.
Right.
The other thing that is really interesting about these chiefs and also their understudies, the second in command, you mentioned Kenny Garner, bless his heart, and some of the others. They were the ones, it was really something I had to really kind of, given my past and dealings with and my thoughts about how police operate, like you, Skip, I had to kind of reorientate my thinking, too.
Mm-hmm.
When they would stand with us, and not only stand with us, they also did something else. And the first time I became aware of this, how they realized the impact we were having in the community, there was one shooting that came to mind. I think Ashley Parks was chief then. There was one shooting that was on the corner of Manchester and Vermont in the drugstore. They gunned the young, well, he wasn't young, a middle-aged black guy down. So what happened was we came out. We had the press conference. I'm looking around. Now, remember, Manchester and Vermont, as you well know, on that corner, you can't sit there 1 minute without seeing 5 LAPD cars
right.
go by.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was we're there. We had the press conference, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'm thinking, wait a minute, no LAPD. I don't see any, nothing. 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Then it hit me what they were doing. The word went out, stay away.
Mm.
Stay away. And remember, Sister Heron, I saw that many times we went to corners. You know, now this time about police shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away. They realized, Skip, from a PR standpoint, we don't want to give them any reason.
Right.
No harassment, no anything.
You know
they
that,
had learned the lesson
you
about
know, you
PR.
Know where that come from? That probably comes from the 1992 uprising. Remember the lieutenant pulled everybody back
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Because he said right there, 71st and Normandy, he said we were the targets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he said, if I pull everybody back, they have no one to be angry with.
Right.
But he was wrong.
He was wrong.
Well, also,
he was
he
wrong.
Also, Skip, there's a little story on that, too. Years later, I talked to Daryl Gates. Years later, he's not chief anymore during the OJ trial.
Yeah.
We were doing things, you know, together at okay. CBS. We would walk to the parking lot after the show. I got to, you know, not know him, but I saw another side to him. You know, he was actually a human being. you know, once he got out of that milieu, like so many of them are.
Was he?
Yeah. No, once she got out of that milieu, and this is what he told me. He said, Earl, if we had gone down there full blast that day and killed a bunch of blacks, that's what he said, then what would have happened? Mm-hmm. And that would have been what would have happened. We'd have had a massacre down there.
You know, the problem is the way his leadership is what caused that. He was a leadership that allowed that kind of Rodney King
of course
conduct to go on. And
for years before.
Wait a minute, just to verify it, I asked after Kenny Garner had passed and we see a new leadership coming in the South Bureau, and I checked him. It was my job to check him, find out if they're serious, who are you, are you coming to hurt us or help? And so I asked him about that. Doing the Rodney Kings all over my neighborhood, which sparked April 29th. And he said to me very clearly, yeah, we used to, but we don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And that statement right there gave me a chance to give him a little consideration. Mm-hmm. Because in those years, I've been anti-police since 65. Since my childhood, and I haven't seen anything change that, and by 92 it only gotten worse.
Well, remember one thing about Kenny Garner, he never said no to any request we ever made.
No,
he
didn't.
Never said no.
Well, we have to thank Bratton for Kenny.
For that.
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, he promoted him fast. He was
did.
A captain.
He did.
He was a captain at first over recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that's how he was introducing him, a captain over recruitment, then he was a commander, and you know, within a year and a half, the 18-month period, he was deputy chief.
They moved
of South
him up
Bureau.
The food chain. Mm-hmm. Well, because he was effective, that's why, and they saw it.
He wasn't just effective, and I'll tell you something else Bratton did. He used to make his leadership, Earl Paisinger and anybody else downtown, come and do these community meetings.
Things, yeah.
Let us come.
That was routine at that
point.
Yes,
it was routine.
And for decades on the gates. Are you kidding? No way.
No way.
Because you're the enemy.
You're the enemy,
And they didn't even try to hide it.
No, they didn't. No. And so that was the different, unique thing about
But you know
Bratton.
What? I like that.
I did, too.
No, I like
the enemy
Gates.
Part.
I like that because I rather know how you feel about me as opposed to
you come in
because you're forced to and you have that fake smile and I never know it's fake and you spit in your hand, I'm about to go see the community. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that. So I would rather know up front that you are against me. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't like your stance against me, I like the fact that you're being open and honest.
You're being who you are.
You're
well,
being who you are.
Okay,
you're
but Skip, now, let me kind of give you a counter to that. I hear where you're going with that. And again, I don't totally disagree, but however, there's something else to that. We didn't just sit down and have those meetings at our polite discussions at our round table, PR. And we've talked about this, Sister Heron, many, many times. We actually had meetings with them away from the press, away from the community, after a shooting, after this.
Yes.
And we actually got concessions out of them. Mm-hmm. We actually moved them, prodded them, pushed them to do certain things. I'm going to just shift for a minute with Sheriff Baca. Well, I still say Sheriff Baca.
Yeah.
Former Sheriff Baca, now soon to be
number
Baca.
Okay.
All right. Baca, we met after there was a period, remember, probably in the mid 2008-09, there were a lot of sheriff shootings. Remember that? We were out on those corners.
Yes.
And then Baca would meet with us. We would go down there to
He's
their
not a
headquarters over at Monterey Park.
He's not a good example. He's a human being.
Yeah,
but I was just Baca is.
But I want to give one example.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to give this one example, and I saw it too with the LAPD. In certain situations, Baca stopped, and we said specifically, we want to see a policy change on this. Mm-hmm. Remember the excuse they were using at that point? I thought he was going for because he was pulling up his pants.
Yeah.
You know, the pants are coming down.
The
He's running to have the cell phone and that. He went and changed the policy right on the spot because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was it earth-shattering? No, but at the same time, it showed there was a sensitivity. Now, skip back to the LAPD. I got what you're saying about him.
Right, he's a different character.
We were able to do some things, too, with them in this sense. After some of those shootings, we made sure the officers, and we were meeting with Paisinger at that point, because he had full control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he ran the operations.
Right.
We made sure Number one, the officers are not out on the street again.
Right.
At that point, we made sure they stayed off the street, not just, you know, going to psych for a couple of weeks of vacation and coming back. And we got commitments from patients. You're not going to put these cops back on the street until we're satisfied there's going to be something one way or the other with that. Mm-hmm. Also, we got commitments that we wanted a status report every step of the way about the status of the investigation. Yeah, it might be BS, but we still want public disclosure.
Right, right, right.
So there were a whole series of things we got out of them just by keeping the dialogue going.
Right.
So we were forcing them out of that PR, like you said, Skip, you know, shaking hands, smile, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. No, you got to do more than that because
right.
we're watching you.
Well, it's a lot that happened with LAPD. Also with the Devin Brown shooting, you know, now they can't shoot at moving vehicles.
Can't
they have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, also with the...
And the police commission, how we push them too.
Right. And the young man, I forget his name, he was running through the canal in Compton and they beat him with the flashlight. So now, Chief Green says, okay, we have a smaller flashlight that is so powerful, but you can't hit anybody
can't
with it.
Anybody
so
anybody
I and even with Rodney King, you know, they say now that when officers make a traffic stop, they don't automatically bring their batons with them, you know, as was
but
with
they do
Rodney
come
King.
With their guns, though.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean.
Well, they're going to have that, but just don't use them.
Right. But here, you're
somebody
about,
shooting at you.
But you're talking about transparency
lately.
With LAPD and what Paysinger, Earl Paysinger brought to the table. I want to now shift into Inglewood. Let's go into Inglewood because I was waiting for years on a report that when Chief Jacqueline Seabrook was there, we were waiting.
By the way,
you know
she just announced her retirement.
Right, she
retires
in September. But we were waiting on a report. It was an oversight report for I'm not sure if it's Michael Byun or if it was for the mailman Kevin Wicks.
Okay. It was so
they came
many.
Very
it was
close
seven.
Together. The two shootings,
and it was the same officer that shot both of them within
well,
a 40-day
period. You do know they fired him. Yeah, they got rid of him.
So
because I believe he was involved in the last shooting of the father at the birthday party.
How many shootings were there? I know
there were
two. I know there were two.
Well, there were seven total in Inglewood, I believe he was involved.
Let me tell you
three.
What's so funny. It's not funny, but what is so critical about that is that year, like before September, there were five homicides in the city of Inglewood, but there were like four to six
officer involved homicides. Yeah, but they were out of control.
So they were matching each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the city had calmed down, but the officers had escalated.
Yeah. Okay, and everybody wanted her fired. It's like getting rid of her,
You know what
her.
She did, though? I mean, I love Jacqueline Seabrook. If you're watching, I love you, Jacqueline. But she went on vacation when Michael Byun got shot, and she said, "Well, I'm off that weekend."
She did say
she said
that.
She said, "I was off that weekend."
Well, hey, look,
but she learned from that.
She did.
Because she took
a
lot of heat for that,
she
learned. She said, "I'll never make that mistake again."
And the truth is, she came from cushy Santa Monica.
Right.
With that don't have the kind of problems we have in the inner city over here in the Inglewood, which is at war with the Manchester on the other side of Crenshaw, you know, and we're at war with each other. So that was new territory for her.
No, she's an Inglewood resident.
Well, she was on the learning curve at that point.
Yeah.
But now what she also did, too.
She didn't know how to handle that. She really didn't.
Well,
and really, what I think the turning point was when you gave her that private interview and we had that sit down face to face with her and ask her, do you know how many of your officers are involved in all of these shootings? Mm-hmm. Is it the same one? Do you know? And she really had to go back and check.
Well, and then right after that, she did her homework on
it.
Mm-hmm,
she
was
did.
Determined. Now, she also did something else, too. We met twice at our office in Inglewood with her.
Yeah.
We had a little community meeting there. One of them was disrupted, but that's another story.
You mean when the people broke through the back door?
You remember that, right.
We'll
leave that one alone.
Yeah,
what she did was she committed, and this is why I go back to getting it right with them that really want to get it right. She made a private and a public commitment that each quarter, every 3 months, she will call. And she will give me and give us, not me, but the LA Urban Policy Roundtable and others, give us a status report. Mm-hmm. Status report on the use of force, status report on complaints, status report on their whole thing about profiling, a few other things. I got to tell you, Skip and Sister Heron, it got to the point where they had quieted things down. About a year went by, had maybe more than that, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, nothing. Finally, I had to say, Chief, you know what? You don't have to call me anymore.
Yeah.
I finally had to wave her off because she was calling so much. Yeah. I said, wow.
Well, you know,
she became part of the community.
She had to, because.
And she lived in the community.
Those killings were dangerous to the community of Inglewood.
And it was dangerous to her department and
April 29th, right there on Manchester and Crenshaw behind Michael Bayoun and Kevin Wicks. Right. Okay, the postman that got killed in his doorway, really?
Right.
And subsequently it came out that they were at the wrong door.
Right.
They got north a set of style. Sister, we have break time right now, so I don't know. Yeah, it's break. So if you want Stevie Wonder to sing to us, he will. he will tell us how to be free.
There he is.
My soul, free from
this. Oh, my God.
It doesn't even make sense to go to break. Y'all should have been saying that on the air.
Okay, because I tell you,
got you on YouTube. We went down and confronted the Klan. That's what they are. Yes. Sometimes wearing a Torrance Police Department uniform.
Yes, Lord.
Went down there and confronted them. Remember how they had the mob out there that day?
They had their boosters across the street.
And they were shouting us down, challenging us.
Sister Heron
gets in their face, surrounded by.
Well, no, you know what this one said? I'm talking to him, not you.
Yeah,
it's like, you on a public corner, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
And she did not back down.
Oh, no, of course not.
The mob.
You know, because this one of these, I don't know what he is, a videographer, not a newsman, and he was running around asking us provocative questions. And he said something about President Obama. And I chased him around with the George Bush and the drug story and the draft dodging. I chased him around till he ran away.
And Skip, we saw the naked face of hate in Torrance that day.
Yes.
The naked face.
Oh, my God.
It even shocked me.
Yes.
I mean, to see it up close. Because they were right in front of us.
Yes.
Now, we're not talking about Selma, Alabama 50 years ago or Jackson, Mississippi. We're talking about Torrance.
That's what I'm talking about when I say I appreciate it. I appreciate knowing that this is how you feel because they made it that far. Like you said, they made 50 years of having some other kind of face, a mask on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
when you confronted them
and
like that, they took the mask off and you truly got to
right
see who they were.
I mean, Skip, the naked hate.
Okay, because I remember the story you told me that the Torrance police told you about getting out of there down before dark.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What'd they tell you?
Well, that was somebody else's story, but for me, the sheriff had told me my mother moved into the Overhills over off of behind Yee's restaurant, and the sheriff had told me that they weren't going to allow me to live there with her. So, yes, but that was someone else who was walking down the street who was working. I can't remember this. Somebody had a job in Torrance, and they were walking down the street. Torrance police beat me up. I was wrong, though. They were supposed to – I don't think they were supposed to beat me up, but I was wrong, and they were supposed to take me to jail. But there was somebody I remember. I can't remember who it was that was walking down the street coming home, and they told them that you have no reason to be here after your job is over.
Right.
When the street lights or whatever come on, your job is over, you need to leave.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I appreciate that. Tell me that.
Tell me that.
I know now that you hate me.
You.
Right. Don't let the sun
don't
set.
Don't let the sun set. They used to have signs in the Old South. You know, well, they used to say something. The N-word, if you can read, run.
Right.
If you can't read, run anyway.
Right. And you know what is amazing about that day, Earl? How much support we got from non-blacks.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
I've witnessed a racial
because we're only telling part of the story.
Police department.
There were another group that did come out and oppose them of whites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of decent folk that supported us, progressives, and they stood with us.
Mm-hmm.
So
they did.
You know, we got it from both sides, and that was a good thing.
Yeah, it was. It was. Well, we went out there to shake things up and take the mask off. Mm-hmm.
And there was something else, Sister Heron, that happened. I know that you were really, really, and we were pushing for. I'm jogging my memory now in Torrance, where they shot, was it one or two in the basement? They were asking them to come out.
No, they shot him in the woodshed.
In the woodshed, right.
In the woodshed. Right. And that's when one of your activists said you don't bring a shovel to a gunfight.
Yeah.
Remember the two burglars?
There were two, yeah.
Two burglar suspects got trapped in the woodshed, and Torrance police surrounded it, had dogs, had smoke bombs, that kind of stuff. And the young men were unarmed, hiding in the woodshed, on their cell phone, trying to generate a surrender. They were talking to a family member
on
the phone. Yeah.
No, they executed them.
And so when they came out the woodshed, Torrance police executed them. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about that was that their police chief at the time says, well, sometimes we make mistakes.
Yeah, well.
Oh, they shut him off and got rid of him so fast.
Right.
Before you could even blink, he was gone. But that's what he said about that. Sometimes we make mistakes.
And we don't make mistakes in their mind.
Yeah.
You're the mistake.
Yeah, you're
not
the
us.
Mistake. And that was a message to us. Don't come burglarize our neighborhood.
Well, the message was, don't even come to Torrance. Like Skip was saying, we don't want you here.
The driver, they arrested the driver, charged him with his two friends' deaths.
Oh, I remember
that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why you remember.
Because he had a $2 million bail.
Here we go again. Yeah. We were the ones that went out there and made an issue of it. If that had happened, these were just two, you know, crooks that they just gunned down, and this story would have stood.
They were
but
executed.
Every time when that happened, when we were really on the case, mm-hmm. we would go out and challenge them.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about that is what happened, it heightened the community's awareness because the media, you mentioned Beverly White, her and a few others, they came out.
Mm-hmm.
They would bring the cameras out there. Mm-hmm. They'd do our thing. They would go back and, of course, talk to them. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter. It really drew public attention
mm-hmm.
to it, and it got others in the community thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was always important. You know, Skip and Assistant Heron, you got this a lot, and Skip, I'm sure you heard it a lot. A lot of times they say, well, there's Earl and Sister Heron chasing the camera again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I said, wait a minute. We're not chasing any cameras. We're out here as public advocates. We're civil rights advocates. Now, if the press comes, they're not. We just can't make them come.
Right.
They come because there's an issue here.
Yes.
But why not?
Yes.
If we can use them to the little extent that we can to get the – because, look, the bottom line is I have to keep telling people, do you read the LA Times every day?
Mm-hmm.
Do you read the Waves every day? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what you do. You watch Channel 4, you watch Channel 7, you watch Channel 9. That's where you get your news and information from. We would be stupid and foolish not to use that medium if
we
could.
So I'm glad you said it like that because I was stupid and foolish. So 2006.
Not personal,
because when I started in 2006, Bo Taylor, Taco, I got a lot of influences. And the one thing that I was always taught is that, you know, the work that we do is not going to be televised.
Right.
So we work in the dark corners, the alleys. We work with people. And people may not know it. They may not see it.
Right.
And then I was taught that, well, that is camera chasing, so whatever. So my thought is that, you know, a sister used to press us too. Sister used to always try to get us.
Yeah, we would beg you to come out.
Right.
And hands of these, please.
Right. But one of the reasons why we didn't is because we truly didn't understand the power and how the media could help us in our agenda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
we didn't
but Skip,
get it. I didn't get it.
Okay, but Skip,
let me tell you when you did get it.
Yes, I got it.
When Cashmere James was killed Christmas Day.
Yeah, but she would come out, Skip.
Ceasefire
at times.
No, but ceasefire
strategically at certain points. But Sister Heron and Skip, I want to respond to that, Skip. After a while, I stopped saying, can you get Skip,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the crew, you know, from Ceasefire and others. I stopped for a reason. Not because we didn't want you, because I began, now here's an epiphany on my part. I got to confess too. I began realizing we actually don't need Skip and them out there. What we need them doing is what they do effectively best, because we can compliment them. You know, we can bring a public face to it, and Skip is behind the scenes the way they like to work, working with the mothers, working with the gang leaders, ex-gang leaders, working with the community
folks. I need to say something,
on the ground, in the trenches.
Hey, look.
So I began to appreciate.
Let me interject something in
I'm
here.
I'm a film this
See,
way.
Because, look, yeah, because, look, I would have preferred Skip than a couple of fools that we did stand.
Oh, y'all
with.
Had a fool.
We had a fool.
Okay,
at
well,
least
that was your fool.
We had a fool.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know
that
what?
That was y'all's fool.
But anyway, I did want to give you your props on how
hey,
I appreciated
look.
What you did.
Okay, because look, that fool was the couple of fools was getting us in a lot of trouble, and we was catching a lot of heat. And the bad thing about the two of them, they kept butting heads with each other. And what was
it
about?
Oh, they had a fight, too, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Well, actually, it was worse than that. One of them actually got a case behind it.
Right. Yes, he did.
And actually left the city behind it.
Right.
Well, he needed to, because, you know, the sad thing is that this man's a professional, okay?
Right.
And he taught me, don't waste news time, because they're only going to give you 15 seconds if you're lucky.
Use it correctly.
Yes, use
because and also remember, Sister Heron, there was something else. Also, I tried to emphasize with those other persons and you and myself they're not your friend.
No.
Never have any illusions.
No.
They are not your friends. They are always going to give the establishment line. Mm. They're always going to put that first. However, there's a little window of opportunity if you know how to work it.
Right.
Correctly.
Right. But see, I learned that lesson from you, and actually I learned it years ago watching Rita Walters. Because she said, hey, they're not going to give me but a second.
That's it.
So let me maximize that second.
You getting up here making Gettysburg Address speeches.
And
you
look,
know, I mean,
that's what
why?
The food, that's
you know
what the food was
it's for
doing.
You, not them. Yeah. You're about yourself.
That's what was
them.
So crazy about it. That fool just, you know, just never saw a camera that he couldn't lust after. And it was lust. I'm serious. And when I saw him
on how many fists did you have in his back, Sister Heron, to
not
you know,
enough,
stop?
But I promise the last time when we was on that world stage about that Halloween fight where they prosecuted the track team, call them gang members.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Halloween Haunted House? There was a ruckus out there.
Yeah, down in Long
they
Beach.
Put the, Long Beach. And the world stage was here. The world stage, all over, from London to New York.
It was huge.
It was huge. And I've never seen so many press vehicles. Mm-hmm. And our friend in mugging and stupid and saying dumb stuff, and I'm poking him in the. Come on.
No. But you know, he was stupid before the press conference.
He was.
You know what I mean? So,
you know, the sad
so
thing
don't
is
get
that
there again,
the
know.
Professional tried to train him. He tried to train him. We was always trying to talk him down.
I had a
come
half
on,
a head of hair.
Professional about
Skip
it.
Before I met him.
Oh my
By
God.
The time I was through with him, all my hair is gone.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
But be that as it may, we still, despite him.
I had to go fight Ken and John for him.
Oh, yeah, but they came too, right? They came to Englewood.
They came.
Wait, one of them said something crazy and came to Englewood. One of them from KFI.
KFI. They used to show up quite a bit.
That was at Tookie Williams. that was.
And you used to fight with them all the time, Sister
The Kill Tookie Hour. Ken and John were doing the Kill Tookie Hour, and we had that press conference in front of Lucy Florence.
And he had the nerve
sent
to
John
come down
Ziegler.
There, you know, with
they
that.
They sent John Ziegler down there. Man, and I was so upset with
I
that.
I got that on YouTube, too.
Okay, because
you going at it.
I snuck up behind John and asked him straight out, what were your ancestors doing when they were hanging mine on the trees?
Right.
And he just got you.
And actually, he beat it. He didn't last too long down there. He got out of there quickly.
Do you know, John tried to get us not to go on Ken and John. He said, don't do it.
Don't do it,
Sister, don't do it. I said,
well, you know what?
He,
in a strange way, some of them in the press, Skip, and this is why sometimes funny things happen, you know, if you stay with it long enough. Some of them actually did begin to appreciate. They were not just doing it as a job and just, you know, the pro-establishment thing. Some began to actually get what we were doing.
Ken and John
they actually
did.
Began, even them, as right-wing as they were, they began to get it.
They did.
And there was a little sympathy that began to come through. And in other words, treating us really as serious people, not just agitators, mm-hmm. not just down here with a camera in front of us, mm-hmm. but actually serious about saving lives. See, at the end of the day, I had to tell people, we are out here trying to save lives. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Whether, and you said something the other day, which I think is always important, whether the murderer wears a badge and a gun or has a red, blue, something
mm-hmm.
on,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't make any difference.
Make
a
any
death
difference.
Is a death.
That's right.
It's precious to us.
A wrongful death.
And we also knew something else, Sister Heron and Skip. Generally in the community, people are very fearful. Of the police and gangs and everything
rightfully
else. So they're not, and rightfully so. So they're not, we couldn't expect them to come out and be the public face of anything. So somebody had to say something.
Ceasefire.
I mean, they had to. But then after a while, the beauty of it, families started coming out after a while.
Yes. Well, I believe the show up of ceasefire when Cashmere James was killed Christmas Day helped the police find her killers. Mm-hmm. And they found all of them. And the amazing thing when Devon Bailey, the little six-year-old boy, was killed,
right.
And we had to go do that god-awful press
conference. Tell me where.
I can't remember the street, but he was 6 years old. You remember the story. Yeah. He was living with a supposed foster father that was a drug addict.
That was all near Imperial somewhere.
I don't even remember.
I don't want to remember that one.
You don't, because he was 6 years
old.
And the sad thing is that boy had been going to school with bruises. all along. Mm-hmm. And nobody was paying any attention until this man finally killed him. And Earl and I, we never met the family. Our friend went and met the family.
Right, right.
Okay.
But we went over to DPSS, too, on Vermont.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. Mm-hmm. Because they had seen bruises on him before. And nobody responded to that baby mm-hmm. until he was killed. And so the one that came in after Kenny passed, Albanese.
Albanese,
put together a task force. Mm-hmm. They went to Las Vegas to the crack area and found his killer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and Skip, one other thing. Yeah. I want to just circle back to Inglewood.
I really want to say that us bringing attention to it pushed them to give us some results.
And that's why the media and our presence. And then the other thing, too, and Sister Heron, something else I think needs to be said. On this camera chasing thing, what people didn't see, the and we never got a nickel for any of this, nor asked for it. You know, we didn't have to do this. No, but we did.
The fool asked for $500.
Well, that was him. But, talking about the unfools didn't.
Right.
What they didn't see, Skip and Sister Heron, and you would testify because you sat right there through many of them, the time that we would get in our car, spend our money putting gas in our car, going to a meeting, going to something, some little something, well, not something little, but something big, behind the scenes, meeting with law enforement, mm-hmm. quietly trying to get things. There were no cameras there. There was no press there. Yeah. I remember all those times we would meet with the U.S. attorney, mm-hmm. you know, about cases like that. Yeah. There was no media there, but people never saw that
because
we were serious about getting public. I kept telling them, the whole name of the game is two things. One, saving lives, and public policy change. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, when you think about that, the things that we did a team for a period of time there, Sister Heron, we talked about this. We actually did see a reduction in violence
we
in
did.
Our community. Ceasefire was involved, mm-hmm. you know, right up there
so
with all your resources.
Ceasefire.
We actually did see a spike down for a period. Now, it goes up and down for a lot of reasons. And we also saw something, too, with the LAPD and the sheriffs. In a couple of those years, we saw the use of force go down.
It has
because
been.
Now they're aware. We are watching you.
We're watching you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're watching you. And now we have the benefit of the cell phone camera. Not that it's doing us any good.
Well, actually, better to have it than not.
Well, yeah, but it ain't. You know, we got the evidence. Philando Castile.
Oh, what's her name got found?
Terrence Crutcher.
Not guilty.
Okay, but Skip and Sister Heron, I mean, you know, the system is set up not to try and prosecute them. I mean, sir, we already know that. It's a loaded deck there all the way back to Rodney King. However, still, with the cell phone, bringing them to trial, even though you're not going to get a conviction, especially in Oklahoma. I mean, come on. Mm. But it still keeps it out there. You got – just think about it. If that wasn't the case, who would know anything?
Wait, but that makes me mad, though.
It should.
When I see something and you prosecute and then you fail to get a conviction as if I didn't see what I saw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I saw a man walking away.
Yeah.
But it still puts him on notice. You still, even though you may walk away, and you probably will, you still got to get an attorney. You still got to sit in that courtroom. You still got to go through the process. I mean, even there
We're
to make them do that.
We're not even getting in the courtroom.
To
but
make
did,
them
that,
do
did any of that
day.
Stop Brian Regan?
No.
Inglewood, who shot Michael Bayoum, and then later shot Kevin Wicks, and his daddy was Inglewood Police. Officer.
But in the years after that, remember, it did. It did have an effect on them. And one other
Where'd
thing, too.
Where'd he go?
And one other thing.
Wait,
too.
Hold on. Where
Probably
did he go?
To Torrance.
Right. Because you remember.
Oh, you mean that? Well, yeah. They do a musical chairs with him.
I forgot his name. He's on Sentry at the gas station. He actually comes from Vic and the Inglewood Peacemakers. Their little youngster was choked. Beapone was choked also by an Inglewood police officer. Mm-hmm. It was on the news. Motorcycle officer.
Was this recently?
No, this was 2005.
Oh, okay.
2006.
Yeah. Well, they were choking everybody then.
But that officer eventually left and went
to Torrance.
Not
surprised.
So I'm thinking they can go straight down Inglewood Avenue.
And they
can just drive right
there. I wouldn't be surprised if the highway patrol officer that beat Marlene Pennick
is
and got
Torrance
to resign
now.
Is working for Torrance now.
He might be, well, if he's not in Torrance, he might be in Paducah, Iowa. So we don't know.
Yeah,
somewhere.
We don't know.
It's
but
like
he is
chairs.
Free to get reemployed. They didn't fire him.
I still
they
say,
didn't
though,
prosecute
said
him,
that,
so they can
better,
make a
better
transfer.
Better to shed a light. At least you put him on notice. You're being watched. At least, if nothing else. And that's kind of for some. You know, back, I wanted to say something about Jacqueline Seabrooks and the Inglewood PD. The other part to that is, She had a vested interest in another reason, Sister Heron, and the LAPD too, but especially in Inglewood, meeting with us, outreaching, trying to reshape that department, mm-hmm. because she understood something else. Look, when the inevitable happens, namely a kid is gunned down, not by the police, but a gang shooting, some kind of shooting, you know, us on us shooting. If we do not have the cooperation of the community and the trust of the community, we got a rotten department here. We're not going to solve anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to talk to us. Nobody's going to do anything. Mm-hmm. You talk about catch the killers. No, we're not going to be able to do anything because nobody's going to talk to us because yeah. they think we're killers. So she had a vested interest in making that department at least appear to be more responsible,
you know,
and
what?
Responsive.
It's about her reputation. Too.
And her personally.
Okay, and how many more of your officers are you going to allow to shoot up the black community before we drag you out of office?
No, you know
and
what?
That's
she,
really.
I have to say, me and who is now chief, but he was captain, Sisak. Uh-huh. Were like this, and he had told me that she had got rid of almost 30 officers.
She did, yeah,
she
and
did.
I know that
she
because she told me
right off the top.
She not only told me that, she gave me their names.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But in the second go,
because I asked her for it.
But then in the
because I didn't take her word for it. I want to know who were these officers and when, so she had a report on it.
But it was in the second round that she got rid of Regan. She didn't. He wasn't in the first 15. She came in having to get rid of 15 right off the top,
right.
And then after we had the meeting. Then she went back and checked these, and that's when we got rid of Regan. But
and in Inglewood, they could do that. LAPD, no.
Oh, my God.
No, you got to go through God and act to God, right?
You have the
to get in front of him.
League.
And even that's,
you
so you have all
the
layers there.
The Police Protective League. So we're never going to be successful, especially when the murderers of Stephen Eugene Washington come back and sue the city and win a $2.4 million award.
Well, then you
because
got,
they didn't like being punished on the job for killing that autistic man and lying on the police report.
Mm-hmm. See, and also, too,
they killed him and then
don't forget the officers, too, that gunned down Ezell Ford.
Yes.
They sued. Same thing.
No, they have not moved that. They
but
tried
no, suing.
To sue, but
and remember, they want their job.
The
with, they have a lawsuit. But they also have something else, too. Beck, remember what he did was, well, Pacinger really did it. He didn't put him back on the street. Well, they were at the desk for a year and a half. Wait a minute. You're punishing us.
Okay. Well, one thing that we had to push with South Bureau is, as in the case of Christopher Dorner, that those officers shot the newswomen. Oh, you make sure they are not in a patrol car in our community.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They are not. We do not want,
not want them
in South Bureau working at all. And that was one of the last things that we demanded from Beck. Now, did we get it? I don't know. He said he was babysitting them.
Mm-hmm.
He had his eyes.
Well, after he's been sued, I'm sure he's not babysitting them behind a desk.
No, he's not.
I'm sure
no.
they're probably in a patrol car somewhere. Just
and how would you know?
Yeah, we wouldn't.
Yeah, how
we
would
wouldn't know.
Know.
But the point is, we wanted to make sure that they didn't. They weren't allowed.
You still have to raise the issue. You have to do it, and you have to do it with them, not away from them, with them.
Well, you know, one thing that I learned from you, Earl, and it's been very effective. If you're going to meet with these people, don't leave empty-handed.
No.
Oh, yeah, without a
no.
doubt.
Without a doubt.
You
right.
No, you have to have a strategy and a tactic.
This
and you
is
have
not
to have
kumbaya.
An end. It has to be an end game.
So
there.
I want to ask for something.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every
you have
time
to
I'm
ask for something.
I'm asking for something.
Skip, and I can tell you, every time I met with him, it was a mantra. I asked for one thing. I mean, right off the bat. I want to have a status report at every step of the investigation. You can't sit on it for 10 years and then one day in the little fine print in the back of the LA Times, officers exonerated. No. Every step of the way, I want to know. We got commitments for that and a meeting to go with that.
All right. Well, let's talk about last year and Cornell Snell.
Huh.
The video.
The
you
video.
Was all about, release the camera, release the video. And they were real quick to release that video. And then we find out in the small print months later that Cornell was shot in the back.
In the back, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. See, and so are we still waiting on those body cameras that they promised us over 2 years
ago? Not only promised, they have squandered tens of millions of our dollars.
Yeah.
Because we pushed them for transparency,
yes.
i.e. a body camera.
Yes.
And then turn around. I'm fighting with Beck all the time about this.
Mm-hmm.
Turns around and say, well, you know, if we release that, you know, it might compromise the investigation and the prosecution. What prosecution?
You ain't
I have
got
seen
no video.
One.
You don't have any video. First of all, my whole issue is that we don't have the cameras because LAPD cannot afford to see what's going on.
They had put aside the money.
No. I'm not talking about money. They can't afford to see what's going on on those cameras. Okay, we might have another Rodney King and a Rita King and a Baby King. We just don't know.
But you know, I'm gonna take that and put it on Mayor Eric Garcetti because he too was coming up with excuses on why.
And they still always got excuses for us.
So what is he telling us? As the mayor of the city, what is he when most of the officer-involved shootings come in South Bureau, what is he telling us?
He's not talking to us. He's talking to the rest of the city. That's the problem I have with him and Beck. They're not talking to us. They're talking to everybody else but us.
Right.
Making promises to them that they're lying to us about. And I'm just going to say this, because last summer they shot four young men
down the South Bureau.
3-month period of time, and all four of them were under 21. And do we have any video camera?
No.
Any body camera?
No. Now, what would have happened?
Carnell Snell shot in the back. Where is that body camera? You showed him running, trying to hide with that gun, but where is the evidence of how the officers caught?
And I sent a letter to and pounded on and followed it up with the police commission.
Yeah.
Belch Springs, Texas, where they did have the body camera.
Mm.
Jordan Edwards, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. The body camera was on. Mm-hmm. It was activated. They did catch the cop in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we come to the Los Angeles Police Department and the Sheriff's Department. You have these body cameras, but you won't use them.
Yeah.
You won't activate them. And if you do, then you're not releasing the videos.
They're afraid.
You know,
what's
come
on.
There?
We got 1 minute, so... We never got to the politics, Earl.
But it is a politics.
Yeah, that was a politics.
It is.
Yeah. This is our personal politics, but I
mean, we're community
to,
activists. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a horrible hour. This is all bad. Everybody's dead, and we ain't got nothing changed right now.
But you know what?
Well,
we're the change makers, and things are changing people. They are. Yeah. We're waking up.
It took the Band-Aid off. That's what I'm saying. It took the Band-Aid off, and now I'm mad.
I would say the sore's exposed.
Right, the sore's exposed.
The man's bleeding over here. Call the paramedics.
Put his Band-Aid back on.
Put it back
on. The last word.
Well, the last word is, how about this? Where is it written that we can't do it again?
Yeah.
Where is it written at that? Again, invite me back. I would just say this, Skip. You know, it's not total doom and gloom. We made a lot of changes. And I think a lot of that's still resonating. You know, we did raise consciousness. We did raise awareness. We did, in fact, keep pushing the issue of transparency. We did bring a lot of families, Ceasefire and others, to the table. Former gang members, got them in the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And that's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on now. Come on. Give us some props now.
We have
continuing
some
progress, that. That just doesn't disappear like Houdini. I mean, come on.
Right, and
the fact we're seeing people around the country when these shootings come up, they're in the streets. They're doing things.
Yes.
They weren't doing that before.
Right.
But now they are.
Right. That's a positive change that's happened. Yes, that's a positive change. So we're really happy about that part. Next time you come back, hopefully it'll be around the impeachment, and we can talk about that, too.
And not only that, I can find the right gate next time.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. God bless your community family. Thank you for listening to Game Talk. Thank you, Dr. Hutchinson.
Yes, my pleasure. Skip and Sister Heron.
Keep your head to the sky, too.
Yes.
Thank you. You know what?
All right.